Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where every Tuesday and Thursday, it's our goal to bring you an apostolic sermon. Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study: biblical studies, worship studies, and our newest major, missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast. Today we have Sister Sam Knoll preaching student chapel. Her message is entitled, Betrayal or Beloved?
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Brother Georgian, for those kind words. And I'm so glad to be here today and to stand in front of my friends. I count you all some of my closest friends, and it's an honor and a joy to be up here today. I would like to thank the Student Council, of course. I feel like this is just things that people do, but I really do appreciate your guys' leadership, your godly spiritual leadership. You set the tone of the school, and I really appreciate that. For all the staff here, Brother Kilman, Brother Rodenbusch, Brother Henderson, Brother Senior Rodenbusch, for coming and supporting us, we truly appreciate that. And Brother Galleon gets to put up with me, and I don't really put up with him. He puts up with me, so I appreciate you, Brother Galleon, and your leadership in my life. Today, I just have a simple message. It's more so of a reminder and a challenge to us, and I think it's good that it comes before this great weekend that we're getting ready to celebrate, because if my heart isn't where it needs to be, then I can't do truly what the Lord, and I can't truly share what this weekend means with others in this world. So I would like to take my passage from 1 John 2:15-17. And if we could just say a quick word of prayer before we get started. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity that we have to be in your house. And I ask that your word would be at liberty in every heart, oh God. Let my heart, Lord, receive what your word wants to say today. Let your spirit be at liberty. In Jesus' name, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. 1 John 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You may be seated. Something that I've noticed personally, and I'm sure others have too, is something of a trend going on in our movement, and it is somewhat alarming. And I don't speak this today out of frustration. And it's something I pray, God, help me not to speak this out of frustration or something of me, but let me speak this from your heart. And I don't want to lump all our churches together. That's not my point here today. But I've seen this, and it troubles me. And I wanted to speak this from the Lord's heart. And I see what the trend that I saw is the world has bit by bit, or maybe stride by stride, made its way and had its influence on the church. Some of our graphics, some of our music, some of our teachings are tending to sound and look like the world. Of course, it's not in totality. No, I don't, like I said, it's not every church that's doing this, but I have seen, and it's vaguely crept in some ways, but in some ways it's been more apparent. In the book of Revelation, we see Jesus speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he praises them for all the good that they have done. He says, you know, you've done all these good works, you've done all these good things, but at the end, he hits them right in the heart, and he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. When did the church of Ephesus not become content with what they had? Or more personally, I can look at myself and say, when did I not become content with what I had? The church as a whole is made up of individuals. You and me, we make up the church. As a part of the church, I set the tone of what the church as a whole, will do and what we'll say. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, I must ask myself as an individual, where are my affections? Who is my heart for? Where is my heart? Who do I truly love? It all starts ultimately with you and I. The place of my heart and where my heart lies, or what the Bible says, my conversation or the way I live my life, that's shown by the way, where my heart is shown by the way I live my life. Who and what am I trying to be like? Where is my time spent? What is my passion? Who am I listening to? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is my love partially for the world and partially for him? And I would like to talk about a story that I found quite interesting. Throughout American history, there have been a number of people who have committed treason against the United States of America. And one of them was Robert Hansen, and I'm just going to read a little bit about Robert Hansen. On February 18, 2001, Robert Philip Hansen was arrested and charged with committing espionage on behalf of the intelligence services of the former Soviet Union. He pled guilty for 15 accounts of espionage on July 6, 2001, and was sentenced to prison without the possibility of parole. He is considered the most damaging spy in the U.S. history. And here is his report. He volunteered to furnish the highly sensitive documents to the KGB intelligence officers and assigned to the Soviet embassy in Washington, D.C. The Chronicle's transfer of highly classified national security and counterintelligence information by Hansen and diamonds and cash were worth more than $600,000. Hansen's activities also have links to others' earlier espionage and national security investigations, including some other cases, according to the affidavit. So Robert Hansen, there was a point in time where he lost his allegiance to the United States of America. There was a point in time where his love for this country was no longer. His eyes met the appeal of another country that looked bigger and better and more appealing and that offered him better things, according to him. His patriotism ceased and his devotion stood with another. It can be so easy for us Christians to fall into the same kind of trap. This world is constantly at our fingertips, and if we allow it, our hearts can be given away to another. Sometimes it's a slow fade, and sometimes it happens quicker than what we would want. You say, well, of course, I love God. I'm here at Bible college, and this message today is not out of condemnation, but it's a place that I have been. And it's a place that I know we all have been at some point. So we can say, yeah, I love the Lord. I'm here. I'm spending 4 years of my life here. Of course I love the Lord. What are you talking about? But Judas Iscariot also devoted 3 years of his life to the Lord as a disciple. But we know the ultimate end of his life. He was in the presence of the Savior every day. He walked with him and he talked with him. He heard him teach and he heard the Savior speak from his heart. Judas had every opportunity to be greatly used to the Lord. He could have been one of the pillars of the church, but he let another love take place in his heart. We see Judas in the very act of treason in the story when Mary anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive ointment. His heart was speaking from him when he said, "Should this not be given to the poor?" He had no love for the poor. His love was rooted in money. The ultimate act of betrayal for Judas was in the garden. He could have been there with the other disciples as a disciple of Jesus, supporting Jesus, but he was out bargaining for the very life of Jesus. He kissed Jesus as one last act of loyalty and then left him for the pleasures of money. Money was always at the root of love for Judas. The question we have to ask ourselves today, and I have to ask myself, is, am I a Judas? Has my love been given to another? Have I spent so much time with him, but yet my heart is betraying him? It ultimately comes down to you and me. I don't think it's a coincidence that the greatest law is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus himself said, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word love is here is used in 1 John, and it means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, and to love dearly. I want to be so in love with him that my eyes never wander to the world. The question is today is, where has your heart drifted to? Has it drifted? Do I love him or do I not? I can't be fighting for one. I can't be in allegiance to one when my heart is serving another. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, and they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Fashion here means the habits, as compromising in everything the person strikes in, the senses, the figure, the bearing, the discourse. I want my affections to be set on things that are eternal, not the things that are just going to pass away. The things of this world will pass away. And when that day comes, when he comes back for his church, I want to be ready. Because this world is going to pass away. It's temporary. But my love for the Lord, what I do for here today, my love for him will last for all eternity. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Matthew 6:19 through 20 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and dust and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it was a simple, short message today, but I hope it was challenging to you. And if we could all stand. The simple statement the Lord is making to us is, thou hast left thy first love. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be trying to reach this lost world and me, myself, be a castaway. How can I know my love for the lost if I don't even know my love for my Lord? At the end of my life, I don't want it to be said of me, she did a lot of good things. She was a good person. But I don't want the Lord to say to me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My love for him is shown and by a life submitted in obedience to him and his word. It's by my life and my daily walk bear the fruit of my love for him. And one last verse. Going back to what we read at the beginning, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm reminded of a song that goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If we could just bow our heads and love the Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, that you see past our faults and see our needs. We are so undeserving of your love, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study. Biblical studies, worship studies, and our newest major, missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.